wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
Gorgeous Gossip, brought to you by Revolution Tea.
You told me you was high class, but I can see through that.
Hello, my name's Josephine Pembroke. This is Radio Gorgeous, and it's Gorgeous Gossip, brought to you by Revolution Tea. Hello, Donna. How are you? Welcome to Gorgeous Gossip.
Why, thank you so much.
And how are you, my darling?
I'm very well. I am enjoying a cup of, let's see, which Revolution Tea did I pick? Earl Grey Lavender Tea.
Now, that sounds like my dream drink.
Yes,
absolutely.
But I,
and what, which one? Because you've given me a drink. And I'm going to drink it now. So.
It smelled delicious. How is it?
It's sort of caramelly.
It's Bombay chai tea.
Oh, it's wonderful. Mm. Now, about my week. Are you in, have you got health insurance?
Do you mean private health insurance? No.
Okay, you haven't got private health insurance. Nor have I, but I'm thinking of getting dog insurance.
Oh, I don't have pet insurance for our cat either. I keep thinking that I should do that.
Well, I've got it on my dog. It's £12 a month, and it is the best £12 I've ever spent. Because last week, our darling dog, Kissy Moo, who's you know, always by our feet. She's here now, hoping we've got a scrap of tea bag or something to give her.
Something falls out of our sweater.
Her legs, she suddenly started, you know, she could only walk on three legs.
She was limping.
Yeah, she was holding her leg up. So I rang up and like, bring her in immediately and we're going to x-ray her. Wow, that is totally amazing. You know, the next day they x-rayed her. And, you know, £450 later, but insured, you know, they get her in again. They're saying, do you want to look at the x-ray? Yes, please. First thing we're going to look at is Kissy's knees. Now, it's really funny because Kissy is...
days are old over, darling.
She is 11 and, you know, and I've never thought about Kissy's knees. Like, you don't think of dogs as having knees, do you? Anyway, but she'd sprained her knee slightly. She said, has she been chasing squirrels? And I said, actually, she has. She's been chasing a lot of squirrels because it's squirrel time at the moment. They are literally doing all their nut hiding.
They're nut gathering.
Yeah, nut gathering and hiding. So it's
squirrel harvest time.
Exactly. So she's been doing that. But also they saw on the x-ray because she had a bad accident when she was 2. And she's had the ball taken off her hip.
Oh,
and
right.
It's all wired up. So they said that she's got those things. What did you describe them as?
Sort of bone spurs.
That's it. Yeah, she's got
scar tissue or something.
Yeah. She's got bone spurs. But then I suddenly thought, and then I said, look, she's got this lump of fat also on her stomach. Which
you make her sound so attractive.
just near the bone spurs is a large blob of sort of fat. And that's
is that related?
Well, that's how dogs put on weight. They get fat lumps, a bit like kind of hard lumps. So I said, well, they said, we know it's not cancerous because when she was asleep, we did a big check on her. They did her anal glands, they cut her toenails, and they stick a pin in the blob and they found out that it's fat. So I said, well, what's going to happen? They said, liposuction. I'm like, this is not fair.
And your dog is getting lipo?
Yeah. And I'm so jealous. I mean, why can't we have lipo on the, or lipo, as you call it in America? Why can't we have that on the national? Well, not, I mean, I'd pay private if I could get it. I mean, I don't think they give it to you unless you really had serious problems. She's just got a lump. I've got bloody lumps, haven't you?
I do. Where would you lipo, my dear?
My main lump is my massive stomach and my hips.
So tummy tuck.
And maybe under the chin. You know.
Yeah, but see, then you're left. See, the problem is,
yeah,
I've thought about this,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah,
that's what one does in one spare time. No, I've thought about this. And the problem with lipo, first of all, if you gain weight, it'll go somewhere else, right? Because
really?
It can't go there anymore. But what,
it really can't go. It's got to, what? It moves to your ankles or your nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something.
So you end up with fankles. heaven forfend. No, but the other thing is, at my age, I will not cast any aspersions on what your skin is like, but you're just going to sag.
Right. And then you have to have more surgery.
Yes. Yeah, so it'll be pleasingly plump, darling.
Okay. But I'm still, I mean, imagine if I, you know, last week quickly put to sleep for a few hours, had my nails done, Have my liposuction done.
And your anal glands
my
checked.
My anal glands checked.
Radio Gorgeous.
So yeah, I'd love to have all that done. And I'm not insured for health. Because people don't really take it in England, you know. But I'm now thinking maybe I should. But I don't think they cover doing your nails when you're asleep.
I don't think they do, darling.
So what have
or
you...
Or your fat lumps.
Oh, my fat lumps. Shame. So tell me what you've been up to.
Well, we also had a dog to stay the weekend. My brother-in-law came and visited. And it is a dog exactly of the same breed. And Credo, I would say, as Kissy Moo.
Oh, so it's a Border Terrier.
It is a Border Terrier. And it is also part squirrel or fox.
Yeah. What's the dog called?
Frankie Marmite Knuckles.
Brilliant, brilliant. And what's Frankie? So he's a boy. What colour is he?
Oh, same, you know.
Blue and tan, it's called.
Yes. Or is he but more he's orange? Very, no, he's very corduroy. He's, you know, tan coloured. Yeah. My sister-in-law
Oh, well, that's
had,
called Grizzle. Sorry, yeah. That's Grizzle, yeah.
And she had, it sort of grew out now, but I really liked it. She put the dog trimmer too high. So he had sort of grooves on him. He looked like wide.
Jumbo cords.
Yes, exactly. Whalebone corduroy.
He had a jumbo cord coat on.
Exactly. It was
very
fantastic.
Posh. Very posh.
Extremely posh. Extremely posh.
So what did you do with the dog?
Well, the problem is the cat. She's not very fond. But she was quite brave, I thought. Because she stayed inside my closet behind my long dresses, behind the maxi dresses, this little ledge for the cat. So she found her place and we just kept him out of the room. But as soon as he went up to bed, because both he and his owner go to bed quite early because my son ran them both ragged. So they went up to bed. Then she comes out.
And then she's demanding
terrain.
All night.
Exactly. Yeah. It's her terrain and she thinks.
So how did you feed her then? Is she still fed in the bathroom then?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, she moved back to the bathroom.
Well, you used to live in a flat and I was, you know, you always kept the cat food in the bathroom, which I always found a bit weird. But even now you live in a kind of three-story house, you still keep the cat.
Well, okay. So the kitty litter's up at the top. There's something on every floor. Well, okay. She needs her exercise. She doesn't really get out much. So she sits in a closet all day. Okay. So she needs inducements.
Okay, yes. Kitty litter on the first floor.
No, on the top floor. On the top floor. So the second floor, there's kitty litter. There's water in one room. She only drinks water out of a glass next to our bed. Period. Ever. So anyone looking after her, they think, oh, well, where's her water? It's like, and, you know, the cleaner will come and she'll always clean up. It's like, no, that's the cat's water. It has to be kept there.
So bizarre.
Out of a glass, next to the bed. That's it. And then also in the bathroom, there's dry food. But then if you go down to the ground floor, there's her wet food and treats.
God. So, and then your cat doesn't go out because it's had its claws done. It's an American
cat. Well,
it
goes out, but she doesn't really have any interest in going out.
No, because she can't kill anything, can she?
She's still mean enough. I mean, she scares off Buster, who has claws and, etc., but she scares him off. That's not why she doesn't go out. That's why you shouldn't let her out by herself. But she has no interest in being outside, unless we're there.
No.
She's a people cat.
Yeah, so it's another cruel thing Americans do, because they also cut dogs' vocal cords as well.
Do they?
Yes. I met these
annoying barkers.
Yeah, they showed toy poodles. This gay couple had brilliant pictures of the 80s with him with sort of kajagoogoo hair with a poodle. He looked like a poodle and he was holding a poodle. And I said, I love your poodles. We went to see them. He showed me them, his prize poodles. He said, well, they'll never bark. They've had their vocal cords cut. Oh,
see, that is cruel.
Yeah, that's cruel. Yeah,
I did, I'm just telling you, I did
so
not
you don't
remove
think
the claws.
Taking the claws.
I didn't remove the claws.
Okay. Don't shoot the messenger.
Exactly. I did not remove the claws. I have to say, my husband would just hated going to the vet with her when we were moving here, because you have to start about a year in advance, and you basically chip and pin them. And every time you go, it's like going to the supermarket. Every time you go, they just take money off you.
Yeah.
And supposedly do something.
Is this the vet?
Yeah. So, but he, you know, the cat's name is Monkeypox, but he wouldn't, you know, she'd been declawed and he would not, you know, even as many times as he said it wasn't him who declawed it, he wouldn't tell him her name. So it was also around.
He's embarrassed about monkeypox.
Because it was a disease, you know, declawed your cat. Exactly. So it was also around, you know, she has a lot of nicknames. She's the Pox, Mademoiselle Poxy. But it was also around, you know, the year 2000. So everything was Y2K and there was that mission to Mars. So I called her MKPX. So my husband, when he, you know, he dealt with her moving here. And so he
just said fill her, in every form.
Yeah, saying exactly. MKPX. It was MKPX. And so when they come out and, you know, they say, oh, kissy moo. Oh. You know, when they come in, when you're at the doctor's office, they call your name. Yeah. But when you're at the vet, they call the animal's name. And so they come out like, McPix. McPix.
Brilliant.
So you had to answer to McPix for a year.
Our guest this week is a guest who's been on before.
Who do we have?
We've got Tracy. Tracy back.
Ah, Tracy Bloom.
Yeah, Tracy's back. And she's written a book, I Will Marry George Clooney by Christmas. And she wrote, and it came out literally the week that he got married. She said, I can't believe it. Start a revolution now. Drink revolution tea while you listen to Gorgeous Gossip. Tracy Bloom is a self-publishing literary phenomenon. She writes funny books. And today I'm here with Tracy and we're talking about her third book, I Will Marry George Clooney by Christmas, published by Arrow, which is part of the Cornerstone Publishing, which is part of the Random House Group. Welcome back to Radio Gorgeous, Tracy.
Great to see you again, Josephine.
So brilliant. So, my God, Tracy, what a journey you've been on. Last time I saw you, you just kind of self-published, Never Have Sex on a Tuesday. And now...
Right. You were my first interview.
Oh, my God. And now we are sitting in this posh place. What's happened?
Who would have thought it?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I remember coming down to see you very vividly. Yeah, so I... Yeah, as you said, self-published No One Ever Sex on a Tuesday last year. And then by the end of the year, had a publishing deal with Penguin Random House. And here we are.
Amazing. So did they approach you? How did it happen?
Yes, they approached my agent. So I came down for a meeting. And just before I came down, dropped my son off at school, who advised me to do 4 forward rolls to impress the powers that be. my daughter actually told me to do a bit of Strictly and then arrived down here, and fortunately Selena's office was too small, so we had quite a sensible conversation and yeah, agreed a 4-book deal.
Crazy. So God, the pressure's on.
Exactly.
So you're brilliant at titles.
Thank you.
How did you, I mean, Never Have Sex on a Tuesday, what's the second one called?
Single Woman Seeks Revenge is the second one I self-published.
Self-published. And now this is your first one with the big group.
That's right.
Publishers. And tell us how you got the title.
I actually thought of it about 3 years ago, believe it or not. And I think it must have been around the time that George Clooney was declaring that he wasn't the marrying kind. Do you remember that? And I think I must have thought, well, I will marry George Clooney, as you do. And it kind of evolved from there. And then I was thinking about thinking of a character who would be the most unlikely person to think that they should or could marry George Clooney. And Michelle evolved, who works in a chicken factory in Derbyshire. Life's totally gone down the pan. Everything's going wrong. And she decides her way out of that is to try and marry George Clooney.
Well, let's hear the first sort of opening sentences.
Michelle didn't like weddings. She didn't like weddings because she hated the blatant and continuous lying that they required. The weather was perfect, despite the gale force winds and horizontal rain. The bride looked beautiful and had picked a gorgeous dress, despite the fact that no one else would be seen dead in it. The service was extremely moving, although the vicar droned on far too long and the groom sounded like a mouse on helium when he said his vows. The venue was so special, despite the fact that everyone had been to at least a dozen weddings there before, and eating the slimy, bland chicken main course yet again had made them want to throw up. Yes, Michelle hated lying. Well, about most things. Still, at least she knew there wouldn't be any chicken to squander false praise on at this wedding. Her best friend Gina was prone to many a brain malfunction, but that would be a step too far even for her. The fact that Michelle and Gina both worked in a chicken factory and spent every day up to their elbows in giblets waiting to escape to the chicken-free utopia that is Netflix was surely a guarantee that chicken would play no role in this wedding.
Amazing. So how did you learn? Have you been to a chicken factory?
No.
Okay. So you haven't...
I have worked in a factory.
Okay, I'll let you
off. So actually, there were... I used to work in factories a lot.
Was it poultry?
It wasn't poultry, no. Biscuits.
It was still food.
I worked in factories a lot when I was a student. And so actually quite a lot of my memories of that are actually in this book. So there's a particular conversation about crisps, which I remember having.
Is it a laugh in a factory? I imagine it is.
Well, it is. But I remember getting told off for laughing too much. And we were on a conveyor belt shoving biscuits through. So we're going, you know, you are dictated by the speed of the conveyor belt, but apparently we were laughing too much.
So funny, because I can strangely imagine that, Tracy.
Yeah, well, you get these sort of, you know, little Hitlers who think they sort of run the world.
You can rely on Radio Gorgeous.
So does George Clooney know about this book? Yeah.
Who knows? You know, it's an interesting one, isn't it? You imagine that he has a PR machine behind him that would have picked it up. So I hope... if he does know about it, that he's flattered. And it's a very, you know, it's George Clooney is a phenomenon of our time, I think, and that's partly why it's all written around him. There's nobody else really is there up there. I think he's our modern-day Prince Charming.
Yeah, also the thing about him is, in fact, I was talking to someone yesterday because I said I was interviewing you today, and she said... She was American. She said, he's got class.
And he has. You know. He has, and he's got this statesman-like... feel, hasn't he? He's just cut. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him.
But he's also he's got a moral compass.
He has,
you know, and he's intellectual. You
and
know,
he has a sense of humour.
Oh,
and you're like, oh, how can that be all in one man?
I know. Exactly. Yeah. No wonder it's taken him so long to find the right woman.
Exactly.
So, what do you think then of Amal Alamuddin, his new wife?
She's quite lucky.
I love her.
Oh, well, she's stunning, obviously, isn't she? And clearly,
she's more beautiful than a celebrity. I mean,
she is. And yeah. I think, obviously, watching all the footage and seeing the pictures from the wedding at the weekend, I thought she looked jaw-droppingly beautiful. You know,
yeah,
she
more
looked
beautiful than you can ever imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole thing actually looked unreal. Mm. It was so perfect, wasn't it? So I think, you know, obviously, I hope that they're very happy.
Yeah, well, you know, but look at
she says through gritty teeth.
Exactly. So I want to know, do you have feelings then for George?
I was asked actually by somebody whether I was obsessed with George Clooney. And no, I'm not. And then I went on to describe the fact that I have a caramel cut out of him in the living room at the moment, which did lead to obsessive tendencies. I think he is, as I say, I think he's a phenomenon of our time. I have a big appreciation of George Clooney. I wouldn't say I had feelings for him. No.
Okay. Now, I just want to know, is there a happy ending to the book?
There is a happy ending, but you need to read the book, obviously, to see. It's very much about her journey, and it's about that. It's about deciding to do something despite the fact there's actually, you know, it's a ridiculous thing to aim for. And I really like that. I think that's, and there's a big theme in the book, which is about not getting in your own way, that often we don't do something because we ourselves go, well, that's never going to happen, so therefore I'm not going to do it. And Michelle doesn't do that. She just goes, right, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to try.
So she takes a risk.
She takes a risk, goes on a journey, and obviously that journey sends her, you know, has a major impact on her life. And I really enjoyed writing it because you just go, I love that. I love that bravery of just go for it. Just go and see what happens.
Just like you've done, Tracy.
Well, I think partly why, you know, partly the inspiration is the fact that there's no reason why I should be sat here today in Penguin Random House being interviewed about a book I've just published, because there's nothing in my background that would say that would ever happen to me. But I decided to start writing and just went for it. So I think there's a bit of that in me. Yeah, I just do it.
Good. I will marry George Clooney by Christmas is published by the Random House Penguin Group. Thank you, Tracy Bloom.
Thanks, Josephine.
Gorgeous Gossip, brought to you by Revolution Tea.
So that'd be a really fun book to read over Christmas, wouldn't it?
Yes.
No, it's really light. It's really entertaining. Good old Tracy, thank you so much. And thank you so much, Donna, for coming in today.
You're very welcome.
And thank you so much, Kissy Moo and MKMPX.
MKPX.
That's it. Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous, edited by Bree Ferrer, Radio Gorgeous 2014.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more. You told me you was high class, but I can see through that. Yes, you told me you was high class, but I can see through that. And daddy, I know you ain't no real cool cat. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around my door. Snooping around the door.